It's been a busy week, hasn't it? Eh? A lot of things going on in the world. A lot of trouble in various parts of the country. Senseless trouble. But that's the way of the world. And should we be surprised? Scripture tells us, before the Lord returns to collect us as his own, this world will get worse. And you just got to look at the news every night, and the depth of it just gets deeper and deeper. But you know, if you love the Lord, you can be grateful that you're in the world, but you're not off the world. So don't let it get you down. The Lord is still in control. No matter how out of control it might appear that this world is, he is still on the throne, and he will take care of his own. And that's a promise from him. Okay, as we come to this morning's message, I've got a portion of scripture I'd like to read to you from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come to them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Amen. So reads God's word. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our hearts and our ears to hear and receive what you're trying to say to us from your word this morning, Lord. Lord, because you are the one who knows how to fix things, how to ease our pain. And Lord, we need you in our lives if we ever hope to fulfill your will for us and to grow to become more and more like your Son, Jesus, who we've just remembered around the Lord's table today, Lord, and the price he paid to make our reunion, allow us to come back into communion with you through his precious gift. So, Lord, we thank you, and we just ask that you just bless us today from your message, Lord, and give us food from it that will help us to grow into the people that you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today's message, I hate putting titles on messages because it seems like you're putting God in a box. But I'm quite happy with this one. And it's just quite simple. Are you prepared? Now, only you can answer that question. I don't want you to tell me. I just want you to be sure in your own heart that you know the answer to that question. This morning's reading from 1 Thessalonians could not be any clearer. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that the second coming of our Lord will be a sudden, no notice event. So it's worth just asking again, are you prepared for such an event? Paul tells us in verses 9 to 10, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him." What a promise. You know, but it's like all of God's promises, they come with condition. And that condition is, you must be born again. You must have acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of God and accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And you know, no one else can do it for you. No one can confer that on you. It's a decision between the Holy Spirit and the individual. And it's a decision when you make it, when you're convicted by the Holy Spirit. I think it's one that I know personally I will never forget. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. Like a reoccurring dream, not a nightmare, a dream. And I love it. I do. I love it. You know, it's important to realize when you come to the Lord, you're entering into a personal relationship with him. And like any relationship, it only grows through fellowship, communication, and listening and caring for one another. When we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we can relax about this unannounced event. We know it's going to happen, but as Scripture tells us, we don't know when. The angels in heaven don't know when. Jesus himself doesn't know when. Only the Father knows when. And I used to wonder about that until we had a teaching here from someone who is into the Jewish customs and all the rest of it. And he explained to us that in the Jewish custom, the groom couldn't bring a bride home to the father's house as his wife until the father sent him to collect her. And he had to prepare the room for her. So it's quite enlightening then. You understand that bit of scripture, that the son doesn't know when the father is going to send him to collect his bride. And if you belong to the Lord, then male or female, you're the bride of Christ. And that's a lovely thing to remember. We have the blessed assurance that we have already read in verse 10, that he died for us, and whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. So you can enjoy his perfect peace. But we have to be wise to the fact that we are going to face challenges and temptations, because Satan is the father of all lies, the deceiver, the great deceiver. And he comes after you more. You're more attractive to him. You're his caviar once you come to the Lord. And he will try to get in and disrupt your relationship with him. Now, I'm sure we're all aware of many problems which a lot of Christians are facing in the world today. And it's not just in the world, it's in this very country, in this very town or village, whatever you want to call it. It happens. At one time, this country was considered as a Christian country. But today, even Mr. Trump's running mate in the upcoming American presidential elections has inferred that Britain is presently lacking in this area, according to Premier Christian News. You know, so it hasn't gone unnoticed in the world. I find that sad, but it's not really surprising, is it? When we consider the different ways that Christians across our country are being pressured into compromising their faith to meet the requirements of political correctness. Just recently on the news, we've even heard of the RAF being attacked because of a nickname for a squadron, the Crusaders. And it's now being considered that it be removed so as it doesn't make the Muslims unhappy. And I'm sure the Muslims have never given it a thought. You know, it's just another way of attacking Christians. There's another one that I read this week about a teacher in the schools who's been disciplined and suspended for failing to use the proper pronouns that someone wished to be known as. And there's also someone kicked out of, I think it was a Presbyterian Bible college, because he had expressed on the internet that evangelistic principle that Christ will not be mocked, and that there is sin in the world. Well, the world is trying to say that there's no sin, everything's all right. If people enjoy it, let them do it. There's no such thing as sin. But he said, if there's no such thing as sin, why did Christ go to the cross and die for us? Now, he's been suspended from that college and is still awaiting a final. He's actually appealing it. And it just shows you how bad things are really getting in the world today. Everyone can have free speech apart, it would seem, from Christians. It's sad, but that's the pressure that we're under. And you know, we could feel down and want to give up, but we must remember who is in charge and who will have the final say. And that is our Lord will have that say. At such times, we need to remember that there is only one presence that we can return to for help. As Matthew 26 and verse 41 tells us, we need to watch and pray so that we will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are weak, but in Christ we can have his strength. If we are sharing his yoke, he tells us his burden is light. If his burden is light, it will make ours light as well. Again, Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 13, I can do all this through him, who gives me strength, referring to Christ. Christians should live thankfully in the knowledge, not as my old friend passes on from God, this lovely message, which we can read from Jeremiah 29:11. I wouldn't like to disappoint you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, what more do you need to hear? What more assurance do you want to have than that? You know, there's another instruction from the Apostle Paul found in 1 Thessalonians, continuing in chapter 5, verses 16 to 28. Rejoice always. Right, that means to rejoice always for what the Lord has done for you. Pray continually, never ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all peoples with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now that last bit, I thought about, should I leave it out? And I thought, no, it's a command to read that to the brothers and sisters. So I read it. So there you've been told. And that's from the Lord himself. There can be no doubt about our Christian walk. We will have ups and downs. But we need to remember that we are not on the walk alone. If you walk with the Lord. There's a lovely old hymn that I've quoted many times, and it's one that's really in my heart. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Yes, that's the secret of a good, safe Christian walk. Maintaining proper contact with the power source. Because just like our technology, batteries run down, and we can run down. Our spirits can get low, and they need recharging. And the only place you can get them charged is go back to the source where the power comes from. And that is from the Holy Spirit. The disciples tell you, if you love the Lord, that's what you should do. And if it's good enough for the disciples, and you're a disciple of the Lord, if you love him, it also applies to us. As we read from Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And that's important. You need to pray from the heart, not just from sentimentality, but something that you really care, something that really matters, something which is spiritual. Because that's what he wants to hear from you. If you're worried, something worries you, somebody may be getting at you at school or at work or out in the street, in the shops, tell him about it. And he will show you a way through that difficult period. You know, the only difference with the Christian walk, as I said before, is you won't be alone. You'll never be alone. And it's only when we look back at times that we recognize just the care that the Lord has taken off each one of us. You know, he's a wonderful God. And a lot of times we think, oh, he hasn't answered my prayer because we didn't get what we want. But maybe he didn't answer that prayer because it wasn't safe for you, or you weren't ready for what you asked for. It's like a kitty asking for a bicycle when they haven't learned to walk. They're not ready for it. And you may think, oh, well, bad for the future. But they may not want to ride the bike in the future. They might have got onto the scooter instead. You know, so you can't preempt, but the Lord knows what the plans are. We just read it from my mate, Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. He knows the plans he has for each one of us. And he will answer the prayers in order to fulfill his plan. It's only when we look back, as I said, that we recognize that he has closed doors to stop us getting ourselves into trouble by going through them. And he's opened other doors to allow us to prosper. The light goes on then, so to speak, when we realize, ah, that's what Jeremiah was telling us, or trying to get through to us. But it wasn't Jeremiah. Jeremiah was only the messenger. The message was from God. And that's the important thing. Don't shoot the messenger, but take heed of the message. And as it says, test it. Don't just take my word or any other minister's word for what you hear in the message. There's something which the Spirit says, is that right? Go and delve into Scripture and find the answer for yourself. Because sometimes even preachers, the best preachers, will make a mistake. And it's surprising. The Holy Spirit will get people to go in and look at Scriptures. And through looking into the Scriptures, they will see something new in it for themselves to help them to grow. You know, so don't be afraid to ask questions. There's no such thing as a silly question. If you need an answer, ask the question. And a question, I started with a question, and I'm going to close with a question. Are you prepared for the second coming of the Lord? The second coming, you won't need to prepare for, because you'll all be raptured before the second coming. And it's a misconception, and sometimes people think the second coming is when we're going to be with the Lord. But you'll be with the Lord before that, because he promised not to leave us in this world during the time of tribulation. And it's something that we need to remember, that he cares about us so much that he's going to take us out of all that trouble. So why worry about the little things which are going on at the moment? There are storms in a teacup as far as he's concerned, because he is the one that can turn off the tap as and when. Now, if you're not prepared, I pray that you'll give it some serious thought. Remember that no one knows how long their life will be, and no one knows when the rapture is going to be, when Christ will call those who belong to him into the air to join with him, those that will be changed in the twinkling of an eye into his likeness, those that will know no more pain, no more age and aches, no more worries about glasses, hearing aids, or false teeth. You know, it's very hard to actually picture and comprehend, but that's how much love the Father has for each one of us. He wants us to be perfectly free. And that's why he gives us the peace in our soul when we come to him. His perfect peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. And that's why I don't feel ashamed to say I don't understand what heaven's going to be like. Because I don't. All I know, it's going to be great. It's going to be better than this place anyway. Although I love you all very much, you know. But I'm looking forward to meeting you up there rather than in here. But that aside, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to pay the price for our iniquity, making it possible for us to regain communion with you. Lord, we ask for your blessing and for your protection in the coming weeks, and your help in our continued walk with you. Lord, we pray that you will send people across our path and give us the courage and the right words to convey to them that they may be added to your vine. But Lord, you know, we just want to do your will. And we just thank you that you care enough for us to keep us safe and to direct us. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.